Fancy a game?
We don't want your fancy life-changing career starting moving out of my parents' house college education.
Oh, man.
What? How embarrassing was that for us?
Oh, my God, was it embarrassing.
Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff.
Hello, Max Pacioretty is not a bum anymore. Finally good at hockey. Tearing it up. Jesse Granger will join us from Edmonton. We'll yell at him about chili dog blimps, DJs in Vancouver, and some other non-hockey related stuff. As much non-hockey stuff as we can with Jesse Granger. We'll get to see Minnesota football, maybe, off the heels of Tony Sanchez coming back. But we start with UNLV basketball. Because I love pettiness. And Mick Cronin is coming to Thomas and Mac, and there is a recipe for there to be a lot of pettiness. If you're unaware, Tina Kunzer-Murphy was the athletic director at UNLV. She thought she had hired Mick Cronin from Cincinnati. I remember trying to...
Was she legitimately 0 for 2?
Are you saying Chris Beard is one of the offers? I mean, because she did hire Chris Beard.
All right, go ahead. I just am like...
So, I remember Mick Cronin was rumored to be in Las Vegas. I don't remember what day of the week this was, but some weekday. And I remember listening online to some Cincinnati radio station because the Mick Cronin radio show was that night, and he was supposedly in Las Vegas. And it was like, all right, well, if he's there, he's not in Las Vegas. And he wasn't there. He was definitely in Las Vegas and skipped his coach's show. It was great. But yeah, so he came to Vegas, and according to Tina Kunzer-Murphy, Mick Cronin accepted the job. He said, yep, I'm going to be the next coach of UNLV. He got on a plane, went back to Cincinnati because he told UNLV, hey, I need to go back. I need to tell my family. I need to tell my bosses, but I'm your guy. And then, like, 2 days later, the president of Cincinnati puts out a tweet saying, happy to announce Mick Cronin staying in Cincinnati. And it was great. So, yeah, Mick Cronin, if you believe Tina Kunzer-Murphy's version of events, verbally agreed to be the UNLV head coach. And then backed out. On Tina Kunzer-Murphy going 0 for 2, she, if you believe her, she got a verbal agreement from Mick Cronin, and then she actually did hire Chris Beard. Like, that, if he was officially hired. Those are two really good coaches. Like, she did a good job of getting two coaches to say yes, just not the whole keeping them around for a while.
She's not a closer.
Yeah, yeah. That was the part that kind of that messed up there. But yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah. And Mick Cronin got an extension out of it from Cincinnati, by the way. Maybe he really wanted the UNLV job and he went back home and it was like, oh, no, I don't. I just want to stay here. Or maybe just use UNLV to get leverage and more years on his contract. But now he's back. I do want to say credit to Mick Cronin for playing this game.
Oh, the game that basically all college coaches get to play?
What?
Well, if you don't pay me more, I'll go somewhere else. And
no,
then
no,
the
no,
university...
no, no. The literal game he's playing Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, no.
Because,
okay,
like,
yeah.
That takes some... Like, I'm jealous of the NBA because the NBA has full-on embraced the idea of, like, pettiness. And in college basketball, like UNLV, like, we don't have this. This doesn't exist at UNLV. And Mick Cronin was like, okay, I'll go play a home-and-home with UNLV, the school that I thought I was going to go coach 2 years ago. So, thank you, Mick Cronin. I want more of this as much as possible. Like, you have a coach who spurned an athletic department. Granted, like, none of those people are here anymore.
With
AD
good
and president
reason.
Are both gone. Spurned an athletic department. And helped contribute to, like, the worst coaching search ever. And he's going to come back and play a game here. It's so great. I'll sign up for that every year. Let's get Chris Beard next year.
I actually would be down for that.
Well, of course. God, that would be amazing.
The problem is, what if they beat us?
Oh, I mean, they're going to. No?
I don't know.
Matter.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I
guess.
Mean,
you just boo the hell out of them. That's all.
All right. Just every timeout is just, okay, guys, I can't hear you over the 12 people behind us just see, booing in our general direction.
That's the other thing is I'm curious how many fans will be there. Like, they have announced like roughly 7,500 for every game this year. Maybe they've had, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 in Thomas and Mac for most games. I just want the place to be full and yelling at McCronin. Like, you don't have to come to watch or support UNLV. Just come to yell at McCronin, please. Like, please make that part. Like, give me the hatred. Like, I'm disappointed UNLV lost on Wednesday because I feel like that's going to have some sort of detrimental effect to the amount of people that want to come watch them on Saturday.
Is the game on TV?
Yes, CBS Sports Network.
Oh, see, that's the one where I feel like that may affect actual attendance as far as...
Why, you think people are going to stay home and watch it on TV?
I normally do.
Oh. See, I don't think it does that much.
Okay.
Not at the UNLV level, anyways. Like, I think if you want to go watch... It's not that expensive to go watch UNLV play. Like, it's probably a little bit more than it should be, given how not good they are, but it's not that expensive. You can go get in the upper deck for cheap.
You have an interesting definition of cheap.
What? I'm sure you can get, like, tickets for, like, $15 to go sit in the upper deck.
$15?
Yeah.
I'm not paying more than $5.
Okay, you're not paying... For this one, though? It's Cincinnati.
All right, I'll pay $7.50 if they... $7.50? As long as the ushers after the first half don't check my ticket when I sneak down to the lower bowl.
Oh. Dude, it's Mick Cronin. You get to boo Mick Cronin.
I'm going to boo him at home. Actually, that's not true.
He can't hear you.
I'm going to boo him from the studio. Talking down the line going...
You know, tell Cofield to go give whatever headset he's wearing to Mick Cronin, and you can boo him from here.
Hey, the guy back at this... Here's just the headphones.
Yeah.
Boo!
Can we get Cofield to do a halftime interview with Cronin instead of Menzies this time?
Do you think we have any, like, pull with
Cofield? No, not at all. It was just a question. Cofield might be down for it.
All right, let's give it a shot.
I get the sense, though, that UNLV fans are kind of pessimistic about this game.
As a UNLV fan, I don't feel good.
Like, Cincinnati's a good team, and they're the best on the schedule, and UNLV just lost, and they look terrible while they lost, turning it over 25 times, so, like...
I'm more scared of Cincinnati's pace of play.
Well, it's just gonna be boring. Like, from an enjoyment standpoint, what are they? Cincinnati is 344th in tempo. There's 353 teams.
This thing's gonna be...
Marvin's gotta stop scheduling these teams that are way too slow. Like, the whole schedule so far has been slow team after slow team. Like, give me some fast teams over here. Well, that might be good, though. Like, the fewer possessions, the more likely the less talented team wins. So, slow the game down, and that usually helps the worst team.
I know, but it also could wind up being one of these 41-44, like, regulation games that I'm sitting here going...
I mean, I would take that over Cincinnati
dribbling,
winning by 20.
And he's dribbling. There's a pass. He misses. Another dribbling. No. Wait. You think Cincinnati could win by 20? I don't see that happening.
No, if they played fast.
I mean, it's like a decent defense versus a good defense. I don't see...
Who's got a decent defense?
UNLV.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Like, it's... So I don't see this as...
You want a scary stat?
Do I?
UNLV turns the ball over on 24% of their possessions. That is 14th worst in the country. Cincinnati forces turnovers on 25% of possessions. That's 11th best in the country.
Okay, I need to know. Okay, one out of four.
Yeah.
One out of four possessions is a turnover. Who's worse than that?
Oh, I'll have to look it up for you.
Okay, because that's... If you're playing basketball and one out of four times you have the ball, you give it back to the other team, you're not playing basketball at that point.
All right, here you go. UNLV again. 240. What did I just say? 342. Number 343, North Carolina Central. Longwood, Elon, UC Davis, Murray State, Middle Tennessee, Southeastern Louisiana, UTEP, Manhattan, Western Carolina, and worst in the country, turning it over on 29.8% of their possessions, is UNC Asheville.
Okay, so lots of directional schools and hyphen schools.
Yeah, it's not good company.
Yep. Not good, man.
I want to do just a little bit, like sort of look at the record for UNLV and do a little forecasting. Weatherman today. They're 4-2. Coming up is Cincinnati at Illinois, BYU in the T-Mobile Arena. KenPom projects a 5-point loss to Cincinnati, an 8-point loss to Illinois, and a 4-point loss to BYU. That would put them at 4-5 going to Hawaii for the Diamondhead Classic. They play Hawaii first. They'll be picked to beat Hawaii more than likely. Then they get either Colorado or Indiana State. Colorado is, you'd probably project UNLV to lose. Indiana State would be more of a toss-up. And then they would get one of Rhode Island, Bucknell, Charlotte, or TCU. TCU is really good. Rhode Island's decent. The other two are terrible. Bucknell and Charlotte are just bad teams. What I'm trying to get at here, there's a chance UNLV ends non-conference play at like 6-6 or 5-7, which would mean they would go into Mountain West play needing to go 10-8 to have a record above 500. So like, even if you gave them 6-6 in the non-conference and 10-8 in Mountain West play, that's 16-14 in the regular season. Give them 1-1 in the Mountain West tournament, that's 17-15 in the regular season.
So NIT?
Not even close.
CBI?
Maybe, but they won't play in it. UNLV thinks it's too good for it. So like, records are over. Like, I give you that, records. Records are overrated in college basketball. Like, there's the perception that a 21 season is good, and but it's not, your record's not really that important. But if you're Marvin Menzies and year one you win 11 games, year two you win 20 games, and it's all right, that looks good, and then year three you're 17-15, people are going to look at that and say, what happened? Like, why are we going backwards? Especially when you look at the schedule and say, well, they didn't play anybody good. Like, what is this? So, like, perception-wise...
Hey, they played Nevada twice.
Perception-wise...
Oh, I'm sorry, Reno.
Perception-wise, if UNLV... Like, again, that's... I shouldn't say best-case scenario, but, like, 6-6 at the end of non-conference play would be okay. 10-8 in Mountain West play would be their best record in 4 years. So, like, that puts you at 16-14 before the Mountain West tournament. If they go 8-10 in Mountain West play, or like 5-7 in non-conference play, this could be an under 500 basketball team.
So weird.
And that's not like, again, records are overrated, but that's going to be just a bad look for Marvin Menzies in terms of his third year. It's going to look like they took a step backwards.
Okay, so considering the non-conference schedule isn't that good, would we call beating Cincinnati or Illinois an upset? Or, like, yeah, would we call it,
yeah, they're good
a
teams,
good win?
Yeah, they're good teams.
But the schedule as a whole is not impressive.
Yeah, those are one-game samples of, what do they play, 12 non-conference games?
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you can still upset teams and have a bad schedule, but... Yeah, overall, it's a bad schedule, but if you beat Cincinnati, it's good. Technically correct. Brought to you by Boyd Gaming. Proud to be connected sports betting app. It is the easiest way to bet sports in Vegas, and it is free to download.
There are so many ways to be satisfied at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Enjoy cocktails and steaks the way nature intended at Alder and Birch. Visit the newly updated Prime Rib Loft. Experience the all-new Bailiwick Gastro Pub to share unique dining selections, try new craft draft beers, and enjoy great live music. Dine at Andori Asian Kitchen for authentic Chinese entrees, or choose from a large selection of sushi and Japanese cuisine. Check out the all-new Copper Whisk Cafe, open 24 hours with a menu that is sure to entice any palate. So savor the latest and greatest variety of flavors at the Orleans.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants.
No, I don't want to go to a party in your pants.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants!
Bischoff's Briefs.
Very well.
UNLV will give out 1,000 Reb Squad shirts on Saturday at the Cincinnati game.
White shirts based on Space Jam, the Toon Squad jerseys. I like it. You on board with it?
You think there'll be any left over?
That's the joke.
Okay. I'm glad that I made it and you responded very well. We need to enroll you in some improv classes about how to help your partner.
Oh, I'm supposed to help you? You're supposed to help me.
I do. I normally roll with whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I know. I would have liked to have seen shirts that said something about Mick Cronin. I know they wouldn't do that, but, you know, just F Mick Cronin across the chest would have been terrific.
Well,
or just make fun of the city of Cincinnati. People in Las Vegas are good at that for some reason.
What do you mean?
I don't know. People like to bash on Cincinnati.
Well, that's because Cincinnati is, I mean, it's part of what? Northern Kentucky, and they have basically no culture. Their, like, food is Skyline Chili, which is basically just, like, ground up meat poured over cold spaghetti. Yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah, we do like to make fun of Cincinnati. Cincinnati is 343rd in three-point rate this season.
Another positive outlook for UNLV, Cincinnati doesn't shoot threes. Like, that means they're bottom 15 in the country in three-point attempts. None of their big guys are really threats from threes, so that shouldn't hurt UNLV. They have one guy, Jaron Cumberland, who's shooting over five threes a game and hitting 42%. So he's good, but, like, nobody else on the team shoots threes. So they shouldn't get beat from three too much in this game. But that being said, Valpo doesn't shoot threes, and Valpo still spread UNLV out and hurt them by doing so. So UNLV, even though, again, they're playing a team that doesn't shoot threes very well, might say, oh, we need to defend these guys. And even though it's like, oh, no, that guy's he's taken two threes in his career. Don't guard him out there, and they're still going to be glued to him on the three-point line.
UNLV ranks 322nd in three-point percentage this season. What's the difference between three-point rate and three-point? Oh, no, okay, I got it.
Three-point rate is the amount of shots that
are
threes.
And percentage is the amount of makes. Got it.
27.4% is what UNLV is shooting from three this year.
That's not bad.
That's terrible. What are you talking about? That's not bad.
Better than I thought it was.
The three guys that have taken the most threes this year, Robotham, Clyburn, Hardy, they're shooting 23%, 29%, and 20% from three. That's terrible. Like, those are the three guys that are supposed to be shooting on this team, and not one of them's at 30% from three.
What's in Tomboy?
I think he's, like, 1 for 4 or something like
Uh-oh,
that.
Oh, I was hoping he was one. I thought he was 1 for 1.
He's taken more than one, I think.
Oh, okay.
2 for 8. Oh, he's taken 8? What the hell's he doing taking 8 threes? What's going on around here? The only guy shooting...
He wants to get drafted.
Yeah, he does. The only guy shooting a decent percentage is Bryce Hamilton. He's 6 of 13. Small sample size, but that's pretty good. Turvell Beck is 3 of 6, but he's only taken 6 threes, so there's not too much to look into that. So I yell about three-point shooting all the time and how they need to shoot more, but if you're going to shoot 27% as a team, you probably shouldn't shoot very many threes. So it kind of goes more back to roster building and, like, hey, go recruit the guys that shoot the threes.
Well, I mean, but if you have two big post players and you know, the other three guys are just raining threes, don't you, like, basically have a putback automatically? I mean,
oh, if they're missing the threes? Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, that works.
Basically just make it an alley-oop.
That's true. The problem is that UNLV's bad games, they don't even get the threes off. They turn it over 74 times, and it's like, oh, we can't get an offensive rebound because we dribbled it off our foot at half court.
UNLV's non-conference strength of schedule is ranked 335th.
That's according to KenPom. Cincinnati's the best game on the non-conference schedule, and this sort of ties into the conversation about the perception of this season for UNLV. Like, no one is going to look at this year's schedule and think, oh, you went 17-15, but you played the best schedule in college basketball. Like, no, like, the perception of UNLV this year, if they do in fact go 17-15 or 16-16, whatever it ends up being, you're going to look back at it and you're going to say, wow, you barely cracked 500 against one of the worst schedules in college basketball.
Can I ask and this may be further in the brief, so I'm going to kind of fill right here. It's not. How much does the rodeo screw with our...
Not at all.
Oh, it doesn't? Because
they're going on the road to play Illinois, and then they play BYU. They're playing their best games when the rodeo's in town. Like, they go to Illinois, and then they play BYU at T-Mobile.
Okay.
That's what they're doing when the rodeo's in town. Like, normal, and that's what UNLV's done in the past. Like, when Dave Rice was here, they would go play games at the Orleans. Like, they beat North Carolina, who was number one in the country, at the Orleans. If I remember correctly, that was the rodeo. Like, they got kicked out of Thomas and Mack, so they played. They're like, yeah, come play us. We'll do it at the Orleans. It won't be a home court. Then they beat them. So, like, they usually still schedule good teams. Like, when they played Duke in Marvin Menzies' first year, that was during the rodeo and put it at T-Mobile Arena. So, like, usually when the rodeo comes, they schedule a good team and they play them. You know, they either go on the road or they play somebody at, you know, the Orleans or T-Mobile or something else. So it doesn't It could, but it usually doesn't. The thing that sucks about the rodeo is the first home game after the rodeo, because it still smells terrible in there. Like, they need to figure out how to get this smell of cow crap out of there.
I'm gone. Hold on. The UNLV volleyball team beat UC Irvine to advance to the second round of the Women's National Invitational Volleyball Championship.
The volleyball NIT.
That was a lot of words to say NCAA, or is it not the NCAA?
It's, nope. Like, okay. The NIT, even though the NIT is owned by the NCAA. I don't think this is owned by the NCAA in women's volleyball, but they are... UNLV's hosting the first two rounds. They play Fresno State tonight, and the winner goes to the Elite Eight of the NIVC. Not excited?
No, I am. Oh. I just am really confused. Oh, there's an NIT for women's basketball or women's volleyball? I didn't know that.
It's like, in its second year ever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
last night was the second time UNLV has ever won a postseason game in women's volleyball. And it's because there's never been a second postseason tournament. You had to make the NCAA tournament to have any sort of postseason. But now there's a women's NIT for volleyball. And they won. And they play Fresno State. They could be in the Elite Eight.
Cool. Rick Pitino joined the press box this morning.
So he was asked about the infamous story of UNLV not picking up his wife from the airport.
Which I didn't know was actually a thing. I thought that was something people say in bars to be like, yeah, we could have had Pitino and they just picked up his wife from the airport. I didn't know that was a real thing.
Apparently it is. Do you have the audio of what Pitino said?
Yes, I do. Would you like me to play it?
Yeah, let's hear Pitino's version.
Would Rick Pitino, you probably laughed at this, but would Rick Pitino have ever been the coach at UNLV if they would have remembered to pick up Mrs. Pitino at the airport?
yeah, that was just...
that is that out there, Coach, well, that actually, is why you actually, didn't come here.
Actually, they dropped her off at the airport and didn't walk her inside, and she slept at the airport because the flight was canceled.
So his version of events is slightly different from the idea of not picking her up from the airport. That's more of a they dropped her off and just left her, which I don't necessarily blame you for. Like, you take somebody to the airport, and that's how you do it, right?
Well, generally, people aren't just like, where are you taking me? We're taking you to the airport. Why? Generally, people are like, hey, I need to go to the airport. Yeah. Will you take me?
Yeah. But, like, the problem was that her flight was canceled.
She had to sleep at the airport.
Yeah, that's not UNLV's fault. They can't control the flights. Well, blame the airline.
Also, why wouldn't you just call the people that dropped you off and be like, hey.
Pitino said a little bit later, he was like, she could have called somebody, but she didn't.
Well, also, it's our airport literally is like a circle. Like, you can keep making laps until...
Nah, you kick her out the door and then you never come back. That way Rick Pitino's not your head coach.
Yet. We don't know when Marvin's going to retire.
Nice day.
The Cowboys beat the Saints 13-10 last night.
Cowboys are 7-5 now in the lead division. Kind of a nightmare for the Raiders picks.
Yep.
Raiders are third, not first currently, because they screwed up. The Bears are a playoff team. The Cowboys are probably going to win their division as well and be a playoff team. And so what that means is if they both make the playoffs, best case scenario for Raiders picks are those teams lose in their first game and you get a pick in the low 20s. If either one were to win a game, that pick ends up being like 26, 27. If either one of them finds themselves in the NFC title game, now the pick is like 29. And obviously, if you're in the Super Bowl, it's one of the last two picks. So, not looking great for the Raiders. Like, what were we, 4 weeks ago? We were like, let's go. Two top 10 picks. The Cowboys are going to suck still. Nope, they're going to win the division now because their division's terrible.
The Raiders play the Chiefs on Sunday.
Can you believe that? We've had this season of Raiders football, and it's been so terrible. And there have been so many games where you're just like, this is the worst team I've ever seen play. And they haven't even played the Chiefs yet.
And what's really funny is the Chiefs' defense is so bad that those checkdowns may go for like 15, 20 yards.
Jalen Richard, 127 yards receiving.
It legitimately could happen, and that's scary.
They have two games with the Chiefs still. Now, one's week 17, and if the Chiefs have things wrapped up, it might be a...
Chad Henne!
Yeah. So, the second one might not be too bad, but like...
Clash of the Titans, AJ McCarron.
I mean, to be honest, is Pat Mahomes going to play in the second half of this game?
Let's not do that, because...
Why not? That's fun.
Because as someone who's lived with Andy Reid for the last 5 years, I trust him to find a way to keep the other team in the game.
No, there's no way. The Raiders can't keep up with Kansas City. They can't catch Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, all right. All right, I got nothing on that. Like, that's just like... This could legitimately be like... devastating, like 60-3 devastating, or it could be the regular, you know, 34-14 type thing,
or it's going to be 17-13.
Oh god, or 13-10. Ugh. UNLV picked up a commitment from Ryan Tatum. Ryan Tatum,
JUCO offensive lineman from Sierra College. He's rated as a 3-star by 24/7 Sports out of JUCO. His other offers were New Mexico, New Mexico State, San Jose State, and UTSA. So some other Mountain West teams. The interesting thing to me, though, is that JUCO offensive lineman implies Tony Sanchez wants him to start next year. And UNLV only loses 7 of 8 guys on their depth chart as far as offensive line goes. And during the season, when I asked Tony Sanchez about, like, hey, what are you spinning as positive for this team? And part of it was, well, if you look at our offensive depth chart, we only lose 2 guys. The offensive line's got a bunch of experience. So either Sanchez just simply wants to improve, which is fine, or, like, someone's transferring, like, something else might be happening. But, yeah, you get a JUCO offensive lineman, stick him in there right away.
Are they going to do the fun thing of, and now you play defensive tackle?
That's a good point. He's going to lead the team in tackles next year, isn't he?
Oh, no, I was saying, like we're going to randomly take some fifth-year senior and be like...
Oh, so Ryan Tatum will play offensive line. They're going to take, like, Donovan Outlaw or something, and yeah, he's going to lead the team in sacks next year.
Weird that we got to the final brief. Grant Stanley tweeted, big congrats to @Bischoff_Tyler and his sidekick today for not producing a dog bleep show today. Okay, today was used twice in a sentence. That's not a good sign.
I love that tweet so much.
Well, yeah, you love it for probably a couple different reasons, but the fact that you get name dropped and I get sidekick.
He's Jared Justice, by the way.
Yes.
Follow him on Twitter, @JaredJustice. Neither one of those words is spelled how you think it's going to be spelled, so good luck. yes, I enjoy so much. Like it wasn't even a good show. It was just not dog bleep.
Not garbage.
Yeah, it was just not terrible.
Normally it's a dumpster fire, but today it's just a dumpster.
Like these are my favorite comments and reviews, by the way. Like we need more of these. We need more of these on like our iTunes. Right? I think we only have like 15 iTunes reviews or something, or if iTunes ratings or whatever. Please go leave. Like, think of the most creative way you can insult the show and review it on iTunes.
If you'd like to leave us a voice note of you insulting the show, we may end the show with it.
These are my favorite. These are great. I'm all on board not having a dog leap show today. Has today been dog leap?
You've let me talk a little too much sometimes.
It's a good point.
I like to lead us down alleyways that don't have exits.
Jesse Granger.
You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff, brought to you by Boyd Gaming. It's time to hear what Jesse Granger sees.
Seemed like they were in the right position, but just not getting their sticks on the guys. Is that what you saw?
Is that what you saw, Jesse?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, perfect. Okay, perfect. Perfect.
Fight. Jesse Granger's eyes. Good enough for The Athletic. Not good enough for Gerard Gallant.
What do you see, Jesse Granger?
I see snow on the ground and a gloomy Edmonton.
How is Edmonton? You sound thrilled to be in Edmonton.
This has been a long trip. It's only been 3 days, but because I went to Chicago early, and spent a few days with the Chicago Wolves. This has been a long, cold, dreary trip, but it's been fun. Lots of wins for the Golden Knights, obviously. Edmonton's fine. When I first landed, I was terrified. It looked like Kansas. It's nothing but flat as far as the eye can see. But that was just out by the airport. Now that I'm downtown, it's a lot better.
I was terrified. It looks like Kansas is a terrific line.
I'm not a fan of Kansas. In just, case you can't go.
Complete fear of the state of Kansas is going to haunt Jesse from now on. So, all right. What happened with you on Twitter and the DJ situation in Vancouver?
Oh, yeah. So last night was an adventure with the Vancouver fans. So apparently about a week ago, the DJ in Vancouver accidentally played Chelsea Dagger, which, for those that don't know, is the goal song for the Chicago Blackhawks. Pretty much every hockey fan that's not a Blackhawks fan hates the song, but the Canucks fans hate it the most because while the Canucks were really good a few years back when they had Luongo and when they had the Sedins were playing really well, they would lose every year to the Blackhawks, and that song basically haunts their fans. So when that song was played in the arena, they basically rioted to the point where it was so bad, to the point where it was so bad that the owner of the Vancouver Canucks had to tweet an apology to the fans for that song having been played in their arena. And eventually they fired the DJ because that's how bad it was.
But you didn't know any of this. You didn't know any of this last night.
So last night I wasn't aware that any of this happened, and it's still obviously fresh in their minds. I'm just sitting there in the press box, and I'm like, I was impressed with the playlist. They had some Childish Gambino in there. It was a lot of hip-hop. I was a fan of it. So I tweet out something along the lines of, nothing is as good as T-Mobile Arena's pregame warm-up playlist, but Vancouver's is excellent. And the Canucks fans thought I was taking a sarcastic jab at their DJ and, like, making fun of the whole situation. I had no idea. And then the Canucks reporters and the TV guys up here all, like, retweeted my tweet to, like, so that they all saw it. It was disaster.
I'm a little bit jealous because that is, like, that is terrific trolling, but it's completely unintentional, which is probably the best kind.
It was pretty great.
So, all right. Well, okay. The Golden Knights have their organist this season, their piano player, keyboard player. It's not good. Do you know anybody that likes that?
I don't know. I mean, I actually think it's the organ is kind of cool, and it has its place in hockey, especially in, like, the older rinks, but I don't know. I feel like you should, if you're going to go with the Vegas kind of feel, with the nightclub feel, just go all in on that and don't try to be half Vegas new hockey and half old school hockey. I'd rather they just stick with just the really loud music.
I agree. Like, pull the sword out of the damn stone. Stop finding this helmet in the desert and dropping it through the ceiling and stop playing a keyboard. Like, let's go. Let's just... You have a good enough sound system that, like, your bass just rattles everything in the damn arena for, like, pregame warm-up. Just stick with that.
It's outstanding.
All right. I guess I'll ask you a hockey question. Are the Golden Knights back? Are they good again? Or are they just, like, beating up on the crappy Pacific Division?
Well, I mean, that part of them is back because last year they dominated the Pacific Division, and it doesn't look like that's going to change. The Pacific Division still hasn't figured out what hockey is in 2018. I'm convinced of it. Last year we saw it, and you see the Ducks and the Kings and the Sharks, and they're all so big, heavy, fat, physical teams that have no speed, and the Golden Knights are obviously the opposite of that, and they skate circles around them, and that's happening so far this year in the Pacific Division also. I do think it's not as bad as last year, but if the Golden Knights were playing in the Metropolitan Division, the Central, whatever, they wouldn't be having so much success in their own division. Obviously, they've been pretty bad outside of it. So I wouldn't say the Golden Knights are back. They're definitely playing much, much better hockey, especially offensively. And then you add into that they're playing all these really bad teams in the Pacific Division, and it helps.
This idea of the Pacific Division and it being not any good and the Golden Knights being able to skate basically through the division, why is the team with Connor McDavid not able to win like the Golden Knights do in this division?
Because Connor McDavid does skate circles around the teams. The issue is the other 22 players.
They can't all be that bad, though. Like, I don't believe that the rest of the team is that terrible.
Well, they're paying Milan Lucic like $8 million a year, and the guy is probably worth 1/8 of that. Like last season, the Oilers have a better record this year. They're actually doing pretty decent. But last year, they were horrible, and they had their total goal differential was like minus 60 or something. And Connor McDavid was plus 26 when he was on the ice. When he was on the ice, they were the best team in hockey. And then the second he steps off the team, not only are they the worst team in hockey, but they're so much worse than everyone else that it counterbalances everything Connor McDavid does on the ice.
How many points does Connor McDavid have on Saturday? No, wait. What day is the game? The game's today? No. Saturday.
Tomorrow.
How many points does Connor McDavid have on Saturday?
I'll go with two. The thing is, the last time these teams played, they put McDavid out there with Derek England as much as they possibly could, and I don't blame him because Derek England's getting older and he can't keep up with him. If Gerard Gallant, obviously, or Edmonton's going to have the second change again, so they're gonna get their matchups. But if Gerard Gallant on the fly can get Nate Schmidt out there as much as possible on Connor McDavid, then he can limit him because Nate Schmidt's the only guy on the Golden Knights defense that can somewhat skate with him. I mean, nobody in the NHL can skate with him, but Schmidt is closer to doing that than anyone else. So it's super important that he's out there as much as possible when McDavid's on the ice.
All right, I'm going to read some stats to you about Marc-Andre Fleury, and you can tell me how much they matter or don't matter, or how much you hate that I'm going to read goalie stats to you that imply that Marc-Andre Fleury is not any good. Here we go. Marc-Andre Fleury leads the NHL in shutouts with 5, but he actually has more games where he's given up 4 goals or more with 6. Only 48% of Fleury's starts have been considered quality starts, and he ranks just 28th in the league in goals saved above average. So is Marc-Andre Fleury any good at this goalie thing?
He's excellent. So the goals saved against average is such a weird stat, and then same with high danger chances, that you can look and see how many high danger chances he stopped. The problem with those stats is they give all high danger scoring chances the same amount of weight, which is not fair because there are some high danger scoring chances, like a breakaway, that a goalie can stop and probably will stop like 50% of the time or so. Then there are some like backdoor one-timers that he's got absolutely no chance at, like the one that was scored on him last night. He had no chance, that the second goal. Absolutely no chance of stopping it. So when you look at all those advanced analytics and how many saves he's making as opposed to the average, he's letting in very, very few soft goals. You can probably count on one hand the amount of soft goals he's let in this year. The Golden Knights, what they've done is they've limited teams to very few good scoring chances, but then the problem is they'll only give them 3 or 4, but the problem is those 4 are basically slam dunk goals that no one has a chance of stopping, so it's making Fleury's stats look worse than he probably is playing.
So what's worse, goalie advanced stats or Kansas?
Oh, Kansas. Are you kidding me? I almost died in Kansas.
Wait, what happened in Kansas?
So I grew up in Colorado, and a lot of my family is from Kansas. Well, not a lot, but the older portion of my family, they can't travel. So we would go to Kansas in the summer when I was a kid for a family reunion type thing. And I got caught in a tornado in a minivan on a highway, and we almost died, legit almost died. So I hate Kansas. I hate tornadoes. I'll never go back to that state.
All right, you went to Chicago, and you didn't write about Jake Bischoff. Why?
Well, I still have some more stories in the hopper. Look, I had 2 days with the Chicago Wolves. I interviewed almost every player on the team. I have some stuff that's still coming out. May or may not be about Jake. It's not about Jake Bischoff, I'll just tell you right now. But I do have an Eric Brandstrom story coming out on Monday, and I have some more stuff from Chicago that I haven't been able to turn into stories yet because, I was there for 2 days, and I just wanted to get as much information as I could since I only make that trip once or twice a year. So I do have some stuff that hasn't come out yet.
How often will the Flying Chili Dog be featured in this upcoming content?
The Flying Chili Dog was outstanding. That is one thing that Vegas does not have the best. The VGK UFO is
doesn't really make much sense to me, but they have it flying around T-Mobile Arena, and they play the X-Files music, which also doesn't make sense. But in Chicago, they have a flying chili dog sponsored by Sonic, and it is outstanding.
So, all right, what the Golden Knights need... Like, you're right. The UFO makes absolutely no sense because it's all castle-themed and, like, this is the fortress and medieval, and then there's a UFO flying around. Like, what are we doing? Like, why isn't a flying dragon or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like a real, like a real dragon.
Yeah, a real dragon.
Like a Chinese dragon. I want, like, five blimps hooked together so that it's, like, a really long, like... You know what I'm talking about. You know what kind of dragon I'm talking about.
Yeah. It'd be much better than... The UFO's stupid. You're right. I have not thought very much about the VGK UFO, but you are right. It is, in fact, really dumb.
it doesn't make any sense.
I think they just had a little blimp, and they were like, we need to do something different with this. And they were like, let's call it a UFO. And that was all they did with it.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably playing to the Area 51 theme of Vegas. The only issue is every other... aspect of the team is not playing to that team, so it kind of doesn't really fit.
Did you happen to see or interview the Chicago Wolves mascot Skates?
No, but he skates really well. That was the first thing that I noticed, because like Chance is great and we all love Chance, but he's never on the ice, if you notice. Like,
that's
you never
a good
really
point.
See him skating around. And this Wolves mascot, the Wolves pregame show almost gave me a heart attack because they just light fireworks off. And, like, you know, UNLV basketball does the fireworks, but this was 10 times more fireworks than that. And then they just have these, like, flamethrowers that are shooting out, like, 30-foot flames. And it just goes on and on for, like, 5 minutes of just flames and fireworks. And the whole time this wolf is just skating in circles around the rink. It was pretty wild.
What? A nightmare. read him at The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Jesse Granger. Don't forget there's an underscore after Jesse Granger. Jesse, we always appreciate it. Enjoy the cold in Edmonton.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, my God, that mascot Skates. Are you kidding me?
So even if you were running from him,
he'd just throw on some ice skates and he'd hunt me down and tear me to pieces.
Tyler Bischoff is
technically correct. The best kind of correct.
Tony Sanchez is back. Yesterday, Desiree Reed-Francois announced he's coming back for his fifth year of UNLV football with the ultimatum of we look forward to a successful 2019 football season, including bowl eligibility. I do love that so much, by the way. Like, it also gives Desiree Reed-Francois the ability to, like, hey, you didn't make a bowl game, and I told you last November you had to make a bowl game. See ya. Like, it's not even a decision for her anymore. Like, it's if he doesn't make a bowl game, she's going to fire him. If he does make a bowl game, he gets to stay. Like, she doesn't have to make a decision. Everybody knows what the decision is. It's great. It's terrific. To get to a bowl game, though, the defense has to be better. UNLV football had the 10th worst defense in college football, according to S&P Plus efficiency metric. 121st out of 130 teams. That is, by that metric, the worst defense Tony Sanchez has put on the field since he got to UNLV. Their national rankings were 114, 116, 114, and then fell down to 121. As much as I talk about the quarterbacks and Armani Rogers and who you want to see there, does it have to be better? That's the problem.
Is the Mountain West like... the Big 12 or something? Like, nobody plays defense, or is it just strictly a UNLV problem?
There's like half of the conference is terrible at defense. The other half is like really good. Like Wyoming and Utah State, they're like really good at defense, but half of the conference is just garbage on defense. But like they in the Sanchez era, like, have they ever had two really good defensive players? Like, they had Tal Lotulelei, like, they had Mike Hughes last year. Like, they have a good defensive player every now and then, but it's like they never have more than two. Like, and the rest of the team is just sort of below average or replacement level. Like, they never have playmakers on the defense. So, I don't know. We saw the defensive coordinator change to Tim Skipper this year. They ended up giving up more points this year than they did last season. They had more sacks and interceptions, but they gave up more big plays. So, they were more aggressive. So, you get some more plays, but you give up more big plays. I don't know, like, looking ahead to next year, I don't know that there's anything to look at and say, oh, the defense will be better. Because why would it?
Hey,
look on the bright side. They can't be any worse.
I mean, they can. There's still 10 more spots they can fall. Like, they can. They really can.
Okay, but they can't be any worse when you combine special teams and defense.
Man, that's... They could be worse. What was it, Western Michigan? That was the only team that was worse in special teams. The good news, the offense is getting better. And if you... Armani Rogers got hurt this year, but the offense is in the top 50 in the country.
Tyler, you're a bitch.